All right, welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. I'm Damon. It's great to have you here. Hit like and subscribe. And we got a lot to get into at the beginning of today's show. My least favorite person in the world. Well, there's a lot of people I don't like, but among my least favorite people in the world are the cheap ultra wealthy. Oh, there's nothing worse than a cheap rich person. I mean, like, what good are you as a rich person if you can't behave like a rich person? What's the point? Seriously, what is the point? Let me tell you who you would love. You would love Rich Damon Bruce. Unfortunately for you and me, we've yet to meet that guy. We were a little bit more well off than now, Damon Bruce, when I was doing radio and cashing some big checks over there. But I am far, far away from being Rich Damon Bruce, which is a shame for all of you, because you know what Rich Damon Bruce would do? He'd pay for that baseball ticket. He would pay for that round of beers. When we all went out to dinner, I would be picking up the check. And it's not because I want to be a big shot. It's because I want to share the abundance. What's the point of having abundance unless you can share it with people that you like, who you want to be with, who you want to be around? It's amazing how few truly successful rich people even think like that. It's amazing. It boggles my mind. You know, we got hoarders. These are like the worst people in America who just make an awful lot more than their fair share and keep it all for themselves. I hate these people. Let's say you own an NFL team. Let's say you own an NFL team, okay? Chances are you did nothing to like actually earn it. You know, there's no, the amount of NFL owners right now who rolled their sleeves up, picked themselves up by their bootstraps, and went all the way from a minimum wage job to becoming a billionaire to having enough money to go out and buy an NFL team. Like, that just doesn't happen, kids. That just, if you are an NFL owner, one of two things happen. You were born directly into that family, Jed York style, and you are now an NFL owner. Or you were born directly into a family of such extreme wealth that eventually, with that starting point, which isn't even third base, it's like you're halfway down the line at third. You are almost on home plate because you were born into that good of a life. Like, that's how you become an NFL owner. You know, there's no like, he started in the mailroom and the next thing you know, he owns the Chicago Bears. Like, that does not happen. It just doesn't. So every single person in the NFL is just like dumb lucky to be there in the first place. And what you never have to worry about if you're an NFL owner is making a whole bunch of money year over year. NFL investments in terms of their profitability appear to go to infinity. And I don't think there is enough of a controversy. You can't even invent the controversy that would cause your NFL franchise to lose money. Let's say you went 0 for 17. You won't lose a dime. You'll be worth millions more the following year, if not a full $1 billion more the following year. There is no way to lose money. Your entire team could hold up a bank and start a kidnapping spree in whatever state that you live in. Wouldn't affect the value of an NFL franchise at all. These things are insulated from the rest of the world when it comes to profitability. The average NFL team is worth $7 billion. Forbes reports that's a 25% increase from year over year. So just holding on to the asset earns every single NFL owner more than $1 billion a year. Before you turn the lights on, before a single play is run, before a single ticket is sold, before a single bucket of popcorn has been popped, before a single car pulls in for, you know, into the parking lot. Before anything happens, you are guaranteed to increase your investment by about $1 billion. Now, that's not every year. It's the years where the league goes out and renegotiates a whole bunch of new media deals. And what do you know? We're inventing new places to put games. How about we have Thanksgiving Eve? They're considering putting a big NFL game, not just on Thanksgiving, but now on Thanksgiving Eve, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. All this international gameplay that you are seeing rolled out. This is in the name of growing the product without really spending any more money. It's just show it to more people and put it in more places. We can sell it all. It's rare that you have a this investment goes to infinity proposition. Normally, investments take risks. There is zero risk in owning an NFL team. The only thing that will happen is it will be worth more next year than this year, no matter what happens. So let's talk NFL officiating. Let's talk NFL officiating because ESPN says that the NFL is laying groundwork for hiring replacement officials this season if the league is unable to agree to a new collective bargaining agreement with its current NFL referees. The proposed approach is similar to what the NFL carried out during the 2012 officials lockout, which gave us the Fail Mary, that iconic play where in Seattle, you got one guy signaling touchdown, the other guy signaling incomplete, and it was just the cherry on top of the replacement ref story. And I believe the very next day, they're like, okay, this is ridiculous. We got to get the real refs back in here after about a three-week holdout there. The current CBA that referees have is set to expire in May, and right now the NFL, which has money coming out the anus, I mean, money everywhere, money absolutely everywhere, with the average NFL team being worth average $7 billion. The fact that you can't reach an agreement with your current existing officials is absurd. It's absurd and it's negligent, and it shows you how insulated from reality these douchebags really are. First of all, what we do know about NFL officiating is it's not great to begin with. Now, I will give every single one of those officials the benefit of the doubt. That is the hardest game in the world to officiate. There are a million different, but you need like all these officials on the field because there's so many different places to put your eyeballs, and one set of eyeballs can blow any play dead or wrong or foul. It's a mess. It's a hard thing to officiate. I will grant you all of that. And look at how the pros do it. The pros get a C+, like at best, when you grade the entirety of NFL officiating. When you bring in less than the pros, oh my God, the amount of problems and headaches that you are getting. Again, all it costs to fix the problem is money. And that is the one resource you apparently cannot run out of. It's not like, oh, if we spend more money over here, we're going to have less money to spend over here. There's no such thing as we then had less money among the NFL ownership. It does not exist. It cannot exist. It's too big to fail. It really is. It's unbelievable to me that this is actually happening. Unbelievable. With all the partnerships, with all the money that's flowing around, the fact that you would expose the credibility of your league, because that's what NFL officials represent. They represent league credibility. The fact that you would tinker with your own league's credibility in the name of not spending just a little bit more money is ridiculous for people who have nothing but a little bit more money in any direction that you look. It is absolutely crazy. Hold that thought. We're going to get right back to it. But you don't need to spend much money when you go to Ike's, especially on a Thursday, which today is. And you know what? You get, when you use promo code Ike's B-Day, a very special deal right now. You can save, I believe, your first sandwich is the price of the sandwich, with your second sandwich being just $8. And next Thursday, the 26th of March, is Ike's birthday, and your second sandwich on his birthday is going to be $4.80 for his 48th birthday. Hopefully there's an Ike's near you. Get to Ike's soon. I also want to thank my new partner, Kalshi, and I'm encouraging you to use a promo code Damon. When you trade $20 on Kalshi, you are going to get an extra $20. And by the way, let me just show you this. Talk about cross promotion. I saw this first thing on Twitter this morning. Right now, Kalshi Sports, which is the largest prediction market in the United States with over a million users, and it is available in all 50 states. Look at this. Early Super Bowl favorites, according to Kalshi. The Rams and Seattle Seahawks both have a 9% chance, with Buffalo and Kansas City at 8%. But what do you know? There are the 49ers sitting with 7% along with Baltimore. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people who are just predicting disaster for the 49ers, and I don't think that's going to happen at all. Kalshi saying, check out the Niners. 7%. Look, these are real money markets, people trading on what they think will happen. Check it out for yourself. And again, click on the link that is right in the top of the description of the video that you're watching right now and use promo code Damon to go ahead and start building your trades that you think will come in over on Kalshi. So thanks very much to my new partner. Thank you to my old partner, Ike of Ike Sandwiches. Thanks to all of you, my partners, for being here today. And let's talk about why the NFL should do nothing with its officials other than be a great partner with them. Again, officials represent credibility, league-wide credibility. And again, you go back to those locked out officiating days. I mean, look, my man Danny just saw today's spreadsheet, or it's not spreadsheet. He saw today's thumbnail. And he's like, Damon, before you even do the show, look up the replacement refs. Call me maybe parody from 2012. Yes, it is. How could you even think about going back to the Fail Mary era of NFL officiating with everything that is going on? It is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. By the way, Mario says, Damon, have there always been ads on live stream? I hate when you're talking on a subject and it cuts to them. Then I'll be, I might miss what you're talking. No, it comes right back to where I left off. So you don't miss that. And if you do not like your skip through ads on YouTube, join YouTube Premium. You'll never see an ad again. So join YouTube Premium and you can cut it out yourself. Either way, that's how I'm freaking getting paid over here. So go ads. You know what I mean? So look, man, all I can tell you is that the NFL right now, according to ESPN, is looking for a list of about 150, mostly small college officials by the end of this weekend. And those officials could be onboarded as early as April, then attend a 4-day clinic in May. Oh, that's it? So we're going to take somebody who's doing like Mount Holyoke and say, now you're doing an NFL game? With the entire nation watching, with the speed of the game moving, that is something that is not even like anything you saw at your teeny tiny college, your directional school. I mean, it is absurd that the NFL, again, just awash with cash in every direction. It does not run out in any direction that they would be messing around with something like this. Because if you bring in lesser officials, you get exposed on several fronts, but the two most glaring fronts that you then get exposed on are number one, which is a huge no duh, just the quality of officiating. Look at how bad the quality of officiating is in the first place, according to upset fans every single Monday morning of every single NFL week. These officials screwed us over. This official screwed us over. That one call changed the game and blah, 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 blah. And by the way, the NFL wants that because you are more likely to call into a sports talk radio show on a Monday morning complaining about bad officials than a great play. The NFL knows what it has with its officiating controversy, but it can't be looking to court more of it because there is now another element of officiating controversies, which I think are in play more than ever before because of the world that we are living in. Not only are you exposed in terms of quality of officiating, but you then further expose your league to gambling influences. So I'm a scab official. I'm going to lose my job the minute they reach an agreement with all the real officials. I am definitely more likely to be susceptible to any sort of outside gambling influence because, hey, man, I'm a one and done guy. You know, I really don't care what happens as long as I'm not caught. I really don't care. I'm not tied to this league any more than they're tied to me. They're using me as a scab official. Well, guess what? You're not making much money in the first place. You are not really auditioning for the job. Get in, get out. I don't like the exposure that that causes. As a matter of fact, what I want is my NFL officials to be paid so handsomely across the board that me being worried about outside influences isn't even something that I really worry about. Again, I know that there's no way to guard against good morality at all times. I get that. But it's a lot less likely that you corrupt someone who is heavily invested in the industry because this is my full-time job. Let me tell you how ridiculous this is. I mean, those two points alone, the exposure to gambling and just the quality of a football game, you would think those two fronts alone would be enough to get everybody to agree on a new CBA here for the officials in their union. So there is absolutely no way in the world that NFL officials are asking for $2 million a season. Every single one of them across the board. There are about 120 officials. So if you paid each of them $2 million a season, you'd be looking at about $240 million for a league whose combined franchise value is now north of $250 billion. $250 billion doesn't even bother to stop on the sidewalk to pick up $240 million. And the only thing I can tell you about that totally fictitious number is that's nowhere even in the universe of what these referees are asking for. There's no way that the officials have said to the NFL, oh yeah, we're going on strike unless you pay us each $2 million. I'm just telling you what that would cost. If the officials said we each want $2 million for the year, the NFL should be like, yeah, okay, cool. That's couch cushion money for us. That's fine. Considering it's not even a fraction of that, it makes the entire thing that much more embarrassing for all involved. What are the officials asking for? Double that number and pay them that. You can afford it, you cheap pricks. How could the NFL be that cavalier with its own quality? How can the NFL be that cavalier with its own officiating? This is essentially, you know, if you're thinking about each NFL game is its own little city, this is defunding the police. That's what this is. The NFL officials are the police of the NFL. And you want to pay your police less and bring in totally unqualified nobodies to do the job who are not ready for the speed or the pressure of the game? What are you thinking? This is a rounding error. This is an accounting rounding error. For the NFL and for the owners to say anything other than, yeah, let's treat our officials great. As a matter of fact, they should all be hired full time. They should all be training 12 months of the year. Well, sure, you still train even while you're in season, but they should be training at all times. They should be preparing themselves to be better NFL owners at all times. That's what the NFL should do. It is doing the opposite of that. It's saying, yeah, go get us the unqualified nobodies from Division III, and we'll go ahead and today hosting, you know, 49ers and Rams down in Australia is a whole bunch of what? Australian rules football officials? We're going to get touchdowns like, boop. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I hate cheap, rich people. Cannot stand them. What's the point of being wealthy if you can't share the wealth? I just don't get it. Again, you would love Rich Damon Bruce. You will love Rich Damon Bruce. I hope you get to meet him someday. Dinner is on that guy. Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, unbelievable. What is the NFL thinking? What is the NFL thinking? Chats are undefeated. There's some good stuff, juicy stuff happening here today. I just clicked over to the chat and saw that the Chicago Jason is declaring chats undefeated. Certainly this chat. you're talking about Guru. Yeah, dude, I got to get Guru on the channel soon. I freaking love that guy. There's no way that they're going to get me back on 95.7. 95.7 doesn't have the balls to put me back on the air. Too much sauce. Damon, how'd you meet Ike and how'd you land a sandwich? Well, back in the day when I was hosting Sports Phone on KNBR, he would call in. He would just call in to talk Niners and sports. And one day I was talking about sandwiches, and he's like, hey, man, come by my sandwich shop and let's meet. So I did. That's how we met. And that's how I got the Damon Bruce. We were talking about what's kind of a sandwich that you need. I'm like, can I invent a sandwich? This was before a billion people would come up to him every day and say, can I be one of your sandwiches? This is like, you know, 15, 16 years ago that I met Ike. Like eight, maybe 18 years ago at this point. It's been a long time. So that's how all that happened. Just happenstance, by luck. Again, there was no planning it. The sandwich is delicious. Well, thank you, 49ers Red Zone. I really am delicious. What do we got here? One thing I love about Damon is he reads all comments in chats, not just super chats. Yeah, dude, here's the thing. You don't have to pay to participate. I always thank everyone who does, but, you know, I try to catch whatever I can out of the corner of the eye. One thing that I did do today was make sure that this TV that's up here that I always watch Niners games on during our viewing party, I got it off today, because if I had this TV on during the NCAA tournament, I'd be useless to you. I had to look at this. And you know, my wife and I always say, less screens. Let's concentrate on each other. Let's be in the moment. See, if I were watching NCAA tournament games up here, I wouldn't notice anything in the chat happening today. Buster Bratman says, sorry, Damon, I can't agree here. You're not entitled to more money because your employer is rich. Buster Bratman, you're part of the problem, man. Like, you've been brainwashed by the elite who don't love you, okay? You've been brainwashed. No, more money at the top should mean more money for employees. More money at the top should mean you get raises. Extreme, unending profitability in a business should be good for everybody employed by the business. What kind of a world are you trying to grow up in? I totally reject your programming, Buster Bratmus. Completely reject it. You are the sheep they look to take advantage of. I'm not talking about handouts. I'm not talking about you don't deserve this money, so I'm not giving it to you. I'm talking about your hardworking employee who does the job well and your profit is increasing on every single global front of business. But when it comes time to breaking off a little bit more for the officials, you're like, nah, we'll just go bring in the unqualified so we can pay them less, diminishing the product that you care about. Like, dude. Like, seriously, you got to get that oppressor dick out your mouth, dude. Okay? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'm not saying that you're entitled to anybody's money because they have more than you. But if you work for someone and you do a good job and you're trusted, you should be rewarded with more pay next year, just like they're trying to make more profit next year. God, dude. I mean, seriously. You got to get the hell out of there with that robotic, pre-programmed brain of yours, Buster Bratmus. Like, you're basically laying in the middle of the track saying, rich people, run me over. I don't even deserve to not be run over by the ultra rich, even though all it would take to not run me over is just going like this with your steering wheel. You're like, no, run me over. I don't deserve to not be run over. There's like 10 families in America who have 80% of the money in America. It's broken. But this isn't one of those like, oh, let's go ahead and just, you know, socialize everything. This is, you're an employee. You're an employee of a company that can't stop making money, but you should stop getting a raise? Like, come on. Come on, man. All right, so there's my rant about how cheap, rich people suck and how that applies directly to the NFL situation that they're in right now. And if they go into 2026 with scab officials, fuck everybody involved in that decision. I'm serious. That is pathetic. You know, I mean, think about it. You have an entire mountain of rice. It's a plate full of rice stacked like this. You know, here's the plate. The stack of rice goes to here. We're talking about one grain of rice. You're not willing to share one grain of rice. Look at all the, you won't even notice that you're missing that one grain of rice. But you can't come off the one grain of rice? Fuck you. That's how I feel about that. That's how I feel about that. I also feel like any pick other than an offensive lineman in the first round for the 49ers would be a mistake. I think they have to start addressing their offensive line, period. I don't want to do the same show that I've been doing for a month in today's show. You've heard my feelings on that. They have not changed. But I do see that the 49ers might be thinking something other than first round offensive line here, because they're bringing in wide receiver KC Concepcion for an official 30 visit. They have also brought in Omar Cooper Jr. for an official 30 visit. These are two guys who could absolutely go in that Niners are picking at 27 range. So you would think that maybe with Mike Evans and Christian Kirk, and they're not trading Ricky Pearsall apparently, that their wide receiver room is about to be spoken for, but they're maybe even thinking about bringing in a rookie there as well. So that's something to keep an eye on. But KC Concepcion coming in for a 30-day visit, that is the news around the Niners today. Now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about, and of course it's the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have proposal on the table right now for the NFL's competition committee or owners to look at as they start to think about what to vote on for next year. By the way, all the banning the tush push nonsense that we talked about last offseason that the NFL voted on, no one's even tabling it for a vote anymore. So apparently the anti-tush push, as soon as the Eagles weren't winning a Super Bowl, nobody cared about that anymore. But the Browns actually have a proposal right now that would allow teams to trade picks 5 years out. And the argument is that if we're allowed to trade picks 5 years out, it allows a new general, a new generation of general managers who are more inclined to make the NFL trade that years ago really didn't happen very often. It would empower more trading, more moving up and down the boards, more interest in the offseason, more to talk about, more to write about, more to consider. And of course, it's the Cleveland Browns asking for this. The same way that the biggest loser in the casino is always trying to get more house credit. No. No, I would, if I'm the NFL right now, I'm saying no, because, you know, one of the points that they make in the ESPN article says the Browns were trying to extend how far into the future teams can trade draft picks. Current rules allow teams to trade picks up to 3 years into the future compared to the 7-year window in the NBA. Basketball and football are two completely different animals that need to live in completely different rules and universes when it comes to player acquisition. It's just that simple. So 3 years in the NFL, it's like we got to do it in like a dog years type of thing. Like every year for a dog is 7 years in dog years. Well, 3 years from now in the NFL, it's almost like that's 15 years from now in another league. Like, that's a football lifetime. That's a football lifetime 3 years from now. That's how volatile this league is. That's how much things change. That's how unsure player viability is due to the, you know, collision course that is the NFL season. You've got mega injuries that, you know, not only do damage to the season you're in, but the upcoming season that you could possibly have. Trying to make plans 3 years ahead in the NFL is a fool's errand. If you're trying to make it 5 years from now, it's even worse. Too many GMs and coaches get fired too quickly. There is no patience anywhere anymore. You would be completely undercutting your new general manager's ability to do quick and brisk business if the old general manager who you just fired was trading away picks 5 years down the road from now like a drunken sailor. It's ridiculous. Of course the Cleveland Browns would ask. The town drunk wants to know where it can get more cheap liquor. Wow. What a shocker. It's unbelievable. Why? ESPN says, a new crop of general managers has led to more trades in recent years, and this rule change would make that easier in the future. Yeah, it would make it easier for bad teams to make more bad decisions. It sure would, which is probably the reason why you don't want to do it. Again, how am I not commissioner of this league? There is only one rule change that they should be considering, and this is going to sound a little broken record to some of you. I've been talking about this for years now. I'm standing on this ground. I'm dying on this hill when it comes to what is the one change that needs to be made in football that would benefit the league. But again, it would cost the league a little bit more money, and if they're not even willing to spend a little bit more money to guarantee their officiating doesn't bottom out, I don't know if we can count on them for this either. Again, I hate the ultra wealthy cheap. The NFL should grow game day rosters. I don't know how you can be asking to grow the amount of games in your regular season. We've gone from 12 to 16 to now 17, and they definitely want to get it to 18. And they definitely want every single team to be going on the road internationally at least once a year. That's how you grow the brand. That's why a year from now, every NFL franchise will have increased 20%, and you just cannot lose money as an NFL owner. It's impossible. Grow the game day rosters. Right now, from an active 53-man roster, the NFL allows teams to dress 48 players on game day. They should grow the active roster from 53 to 60 men and then allow 55 men to dress on game day. What would that mean? That would mean player gets hurt, quality of play doesn't fall out. It would mean later in a game that's already been decided, garbage time, we can really start grooming some players for the future. More reps for more guys equals more safety across the board for everyone. It is the right thing to do. It wouldn't cost any more than what? Going from 53 to 60 men. We're talking 7 more NFL salaries. You can adjust the cap. That's easy to do. Again, all of this money that is agreed upon, it's an arbitrary number. You can move up the money anytime you want. You can connect it to profitability, or you can just have it as an owner's whim. This is what we're doing. Why are you doing it? Because we think it's good for the sport. Aren't you worried about losing money? No, we can't. We can't lose money. I literally could pay someone $1 million a year to shovel money into a furnace 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have you lost money? No, not even close. You can't shovel $1 billion into a furnace faster than I can make it. This freaking league, I love it, but it drives me nuts. Tom Crown says these greedy owners will in 5 years see their value go down as plays will get sloppy, more players get hurt, and will make the game look more unsafe, players behaving badly in their lives. Tom, did you just tune in? There is no such thing as value goes down. It does not exist. You're talking about a world that your physics do not apply to. Don't tell me about gravity. Nothing comes down in the NFL. It only goes up. It only goes up. We just saw the owner of the New York Giants be directly connected to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. And I promise you, the 2027 New York Giants will be worth more than the 2026 New York Giants. Period. There is no such thing as, and we made less money. That doesn't exist. And if you ever were to run into a situation where you're going to make less money, guess what? Price of that parking spot just went up. Price of PSLs just went up. Price of season tickets just went up. The next time you negotiate for which streaming service gets an off game, that price goes up. There are all sorts of mechanisms built in to be the fail-safe of never losing profitability for a league that will never lose profitability, not ever, until the world stops spinning on its axis. Every NFL team will be worth more tomorrow than today. Period. It's an economics class that I just gave to you. The laws of how you make money, how you and I make money, do not apply to the NFL at all. TVYT says, you know, the top 1% owns about as much wealth as the bottom 90% combined. Yeah, it's patently offensive, and this is how an oligarchy is taken over. By the way, Vegan Yosh says, I would vote DB for commissioner. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would be the best commissioner ever because I would be there to serve the sport and the fans, not the owners, which is why the owners would never hire me because they want a commissioner who is literally nothing more than a mouthpiece for their talking points and a bulletproof shield for them to all stand. Again, every single time somebody writes a Roger Goodell is the worst commissioner article, he gets a raise. He's not closer to losing his job. Every single time Roger Goodell is the bane of the NFL's venom, he's doing his job. You're not complaining about the owners. You're complaining about the commissioner. That's why he makes $40 million a year. He's a human shield who does their bidding. See, I would be the opposite of that. I would do what is best for the sport. Call me crazy. Vegan Yosh says, Commish DB, add more cameras on cheerleaders. You know, here, no, what I do will, I'll add more cameras on the field so we have everything from every angle all the time. You don't need titillation in sports anymore. Like, there's plenty of titillation out there. You don't need sports titillation. We don't need more cameras on cheerleaders. Too Much Sauce says, again, becoming a billionaire often means believing you deserve outsized rewards and prioritizing keeping that value over sharing it. Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that an element of being ultra rich is being ultra greedy. That there is no doubt. Yeah. Operation Human Shield. Shout out South Park. Oh, the Goodell bot? Totally. Totally. Buster, you finally said something that I do agree with. All calls should be challengeable, or no calls should be challengeable. Agreed. Agreed. Review it all. Get it right. Get it right. If the person at home can get it right easier than the person on the field, then the person at home should be the NFL official. And again, The sport is hard to officiate. I don't begrudge. You know how hard it is to be a home plate umpire? You know, on TV, they miss a call by that much. It looks like a mile to us sitting at home. To them, it's that much. It's easy to not get that right in person. NFL teams have the fastest, best athletes in the world running at a breakneck pace, doing everything. And you got to be looking at 16 different things at once in every single play. It is so hard to officiate that, again, going back to the very first topic of today's show, bringing in replacement officials seems ludicrous to me. Absolutely ludicrous to me. Bill Wagner says, how much money would you pay for you and Jillian and I to join the Cabo crew and their partners on vacation? I mean, dude, I would, sure. You know what? They look like they're having fun. I wouldn't be putting things on Instagram. I wouldn't trying to be getting all the strangers of the internet to go like, oh, Damon, you're so cute. No. I just like to go. Here's what I like to do when I go to my vacation. I take my phone. Here it is. Here's my phone. I take my phone and I put it in the safe. And I try to leave it there on top of the passport and the money that I'm not walking around with. And if everything goes well on this vacation, the phone will stay there during the entire time. Disconnecting from this thing. Stop seeking the approval of total strangers on the internet. I also think it's a little gauche to be like, look at how great my life is compared to the shit life you're living. I don't know. You know, like, I've been on vacation. I've shared some things on the phone, but then that phone goes right back into the safe and I don't want to see it again. I don't begrudge anyone their success. I don't. I am not a class basher. You were born rich? Great. You got rich? Even more impressive. You ain't rich? I don't think of you less than I do the rich person. Money has not been, nor will it ever be, my Jesus. I really don't care. I really do not care. You know, all I ever wanted to do was make enough money to not have to worry about money. I watched my parents worry about money my entire childhood, and I just thought, man, you know, I guarantee you they would have argued less if that was one thing they did not have to worry about. Jillian and I did not have to worry about money there for a minute when I was an afternoon drive cashing some big paychecks, and she has done incredibly well in her profession too. The two of us together were doing a real nice job. Then I got put in a situation where now we are worried about money again, and it stinks, but I don't begrudge anyone for having it. I don't look at anybody who's got a nicer car than me and go, man, screw that person with a nicer car than me. I go, good for them. Good for them. I hope to be that person one day myself. But I'm going to tell you, the minute I have, man, I'm so rich that my friends can be rich too, my friend's going to be rich too. I am not one of those, let's take as much money as possible, stuff it in my bank account, do not put it back into the community, do not make people better. I would never do that. I would never do that. If I were stupid wealthy, the barista at the coffee place gets $100 every single time I walk in there. You know, I tip 1,000% to my waiters and waitresses and my bartenders. Like the serve, here's the thing, because I know how hard that work is. I have worked in the service industry. A waitress today in an Applebee's is working harder than any investment banker on Wall Street. I'm convinced of that. I guarantee you, those sons of bitches on Wall Street wouldn't know how to marry the ketchups at the end of the night. The waiter does. Waitress does. That's hard work. You know how sticky your fingers get trying to marry ketchups? That job sucks. They deserve to be paid more. Vegan Yosh again asking with the super, who's better, NFL refs, NBA refs, or MLB umpires? The truth is that it's always been umpires, but we are so now obsessed with everything in baseball being so mathematically perfect that we're bringing in the new challenge system and the ABS strike zone. And that probably is the right thing to do because we allowed umpires to have their own strike zones for too long. There should be no, this is my strike zone, this is your strike zone, we have different strike zones. That should be universal. So that's why they're doing that. But all the bang-bang calls around Major League Baseball, I mean, if there are a million bang-bang calls, umpires at Major League level get like, you know, 99% of those right. They really do. But you don't remember the right calls. You only remember the wrong ones. That's why it's so rough. Again, NFL refs and NBA refs, that is a hard job, man. It is hard to officiate in either of those sports. Nothing about it is easy. Nothing. So I reject the whole like, well, yeah, let's just bring in another group of people to do that. We'll put them through a 4-day training course, and sports is sports, so it should all come out in the wash. No, I don't believe that at all. Soccer refs. Yeah, that's got to be the easiest job in the world. There's hardly anything ever going on in a soccer game anyway. So yeah, that's really easy. By the way, and that is how breaking news happened whenever Damon goes on vacation. So here's the deal. If you're waiting for that 49ers have re-signed Trent Williams, you don't need to worry about him going. If you're waiting for the 49ers have traded their first round pick to whoever, if you're waiting for that, you need to just wait another week, because at the end of the month of March, I am going to Sarasota. We're taking the boys to Sarasota to visit the Duchess. We're going, instead of having the Duchess come out to us for Christmas, we're bringing the Bruces to the Duchess, and we're going to be doing a week in Sarasota, Florida. Now, I'll still be doing some shows from Sarasota. Why not? I think I'll hopefully have a really nice little patio to be broadcasting from, maybe even get you a little beach shot in the background, you know? We're going to be doing shows from Sarasota, but it's also a vacation. So something's got to give there, Smiley Dan. Big breaking news will be happening when I'm on vacation, as is tradition. Yeah, and I agree with this forever, forever. Tip your wait staff. If you can't tip well, don't go out. Are you a believer in living below your means? TVYT. One of the smartest, most successful men I ever met said that is the key to success. Find your means. Find the top of where you should be. Not even the top, but where you should be, and live one rung underneath that. I completely agree. I think it's the... If you're asking what is a universal bit of financial advice that you would give to anyone and it would instantly help anyone at any income level, that's the bit of advice right there. Living one notch below your means is a key to opening up a level of financial doability than if you're just always scraping your head against the ceiling of your means. That's some of the best advice you could possibly give. I am glad that you paid $2 in a super chat to share that, because that question is the best advice you will get on today's show. Find your means, live one notch underneath it. You know, you might buy a Bentley. Get that Mercedes instead. Maybe I want that Mercedes. I get the Lexus instead. You know, one notch down, one notch underneath is the right way to do it. Steve Sheridan, he's like, here's a little two more bucks for the Florida ganja. Thank you very much. We will be smuggling. Absolutely. Okay. So there you go. There's my complaining. There's my thoughts. Here's how I would fix football. All it would cost is money. And the one thing I know all of you got infinity amounts of is money. We've laughed at the Cleveland Browns. We laugh at the Browns in season. We laugh at the Browns off season. It's universal. So is usually the love for the NCAA tournament. And let me tell you, one of the things that is the beauty of being underemployed is the first Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament. You know, it is gorgeous outside. I don't give a rip. I'm about to watch college basketball until the kids come home. I'm about to watch college basketball until I go to bed tonight. And then tomorrow, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do the exact same thing. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to do a wake up with Kruger tomorrow and then probably skip this show because I'm just going to be watching college basketball. And then on Saturday, my wife and I have a pretty busy day. Then Sunday, I'm taking Jack and Ozzie to T-ball at 9 a.m. And then I'm watching college basketball for the rest of Sunday. I think my buddies and I are meeting at Monahan's down in the marina, and we're going to spend a nice drunken Sunday at Monahan's together. Come on down. I'll put up the flag when I'm there. I love the NCAA tournament, even though Indiana basketball doesn't love the NCAA tournament anymore. I love it. And, you know, I was texting with my group of buddies of mine. It feels like it's been a couple of years since we had a legitimately wild Thursday or Friday of the opening round of the NCAA tournament. I want, give me a wild afternoon session. Give me like five games coming down to the wire, one shining moment qualifiers at the end of games. Give me some buzzer beaters. It's going to happen. But there are some tournaments where it feels like it happens and it happens again, then it happens again, then it happens again, then it happens again, then it happens again. And now, man, I don't even smoke and I need a cigarette. That's how good that was. That's what I love. That I freaking love it. Go Santa Clara. Go Santa Clara. Go Team Sendek. Beat Kentucky. I need a Cinderella, and I love it when Kentucky loses in the tournament. By the way, when's Purdue going to get bounced? Ohio State was down to TCU early. I saw them battling back. TCU's got a good defense. I got to know how that game finishes out. But we got first round action all around us, and the NCAA tournament is basically the first welcome mat that gets rolled out for one of the best times of sports the entire year. We go NCAA tournament right into the Masters. We're going to have opening day before that. We're going to go NCAA tournament. The next week, it's opening day around Major League Baseball. The Masters isn't too far away after that. And then it's, you know, NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. And let's talk a little bit about that, shall we? Because the Warriors lose in Boston last night. They were completely out of the game the minute that it tipped off. Now, they're playing without Curry. They're playing without Moody. They played without Horford last night. And were completely outclassed. They have lost 6 of 7 games. And Kerr is talking about preparing for the play-in round. Well, why would he do that with the direction that they're going in? Because they are going to go to the play-in round, not because they belong there. It's because all the teams behind them have no shot of even getting there. The Warriors are benefiting not from their own ability to go win, but from the inability of even trying to win by all the teams in the Western Conference behind them. I don't think there should be a single question asked in the Warriors organization other than this. What is best for Steph Curry? I don't think you can make an argument that getting him back out there to make a play-in run is the best thing for Steph Curry. This guy has missed 19 straight games with a knee that is obviously betraying him. This knee is not Steph Curry's friend this season. And could the Warriors, in the blink of an eye, in a couple of games, become interesting? Curry, Porzingis, Draymond, all finally out there together. Yeah. Congratulations. You're the 8th seed, and you got the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. Good luck with that. I'm shutting down Steph, Dre, and Porzingis right now. And every single action remaining in this season has one goal. What is best for next season? Shutting these guys down, giving them extended rest, giving them extended rehab, get extra strength training, because all you guys are getting older and you're all going to have to be the only shot this team has to compete, because every single young player that the Warriors have is just a guy, all of them. There's not a single young foundational piece on this team, Brandon Podziemski included. Not one. Not one. Shut it all down. There are 14 games left to play, and all the teams behind the Warriors are at least 9 games out with 14 left to play. So the Warriors, by pathetic decree, are going to get in. But I really don't want them to go forward. Again, I'm not rooting against the Warriors. I'm rooting for a better decision for next year, because a token playoff appearance isn't what I signed up for. And it now seems to be the entire goal of the franchise. Let's just make a slapdick token playoff appearance. Really? I remember when you guys used to be aiming at things much bigger than that. Real targets with real consequences, playing for championships. You telling me that's over? The reason why that's over is because you have so mismanaged the last few years, and every major decision was made the wrong way over the last few years. Are you seriously about to make another wrong major decision? I think they are. Now, of course, Steph is saying, hey, man, the knee is feeling better. I want to get back out there and play. The player's always going to want to play. Steph does not go to the Hall of Fame on the first ballot unanimously without being wired like that. It's who he is. These guys are ridiculous competitors. They're killers. They're killers. Of course they want to play. That's why you don't leave the decision up to them. I think a wise team doesn't try to chase the night when there's another night coming tomorrow. And I'm much more interested in the Warriors tomorrow night than I am in the tonight of this season. Too Much Sauce says, for spring break, I was going to book 4-star hotel a bit past my budget, and I'm going with a 3-star instead. Good advice, Bruce. Living below my means. Oh, look at it this way. You know, I'm not going to name names, but rhymes with million. I know this girl, her name rhymes with million, could be Jillian. But when we were looking to book, you know, where we were staying, getting an Airbnb in Sarasota, someone was looking at price points where I just said, wait a minute. For what you want to spend on a Sarasota Airbnb, like we could go to Hawaii. What are you doing? She's like, well, I'm going to get a really, really nice place. I was like, the really, really nice place is the beach. The really, really nice place is whatever is outside of the house. We're not going to Sarasota to sit inside. If the place has comfortable beds, a toilet, a shower, a place to make a few meals and gets dark at night so we can sleep, that's what we need. We need a little beach bungalow. We don't need a 3-bedroom, multi-million dollar house on the beach. Let's get a tiny little bungalow. My mom's got her little bungalow. I'm sure we're going to be going over there too. You know, when my sister comes on down from St. Pete's to visit us, she's got 2 little chihuahuas that she's bringing with her. We don't need a lot of acreage for those chihuahuas to go run free. I saved us the home that Jillian was about to book. I saved us thousands of dollars by saying, hey, let's get this one instead. And it's a half a mile away from what you're looking at for half the price. And it'll fit all of our family in there comfortably. What are you doing? Again, stay below those means. Gets a little easier. Okay, hey, if I were still bringing in afternoon drive cash, if nothing had changed, if we had not had a financial blip, an extreme financial blip, yeah, screw it. Get the really nicer place. Why not? You only live once, but we ain't there yet. We'll be back. Again, wait until you get to meet Rich Damon Bruce. That guy's going to be awesome. Anthony Slater again writes, the Warriors have circled the eighth seed as their newest target because it would give them a guaranteed home game in the play-in tournament, two opportunities to win one game, at least a chance to avoid the top-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder if they did advance. I mean, there's good luck with all of it. Good luck with all of it. Could you imagine Curry getting hurt? Could you imagine Porzingis getting hurt? The end of this year, and then that trickles into the beginning of next year. I mean, what are you doing? Well, they're competitors. They want to go compete. They really think they got enough firepower to get... Shut up. Kirk Lacob, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Really, seriously. The Warriors are going nowhere against anybody. Shut up. Reshuffle the deck. See you next year. Meanwhile, the Sharks. Where is it? Hold on. The Sharks. Where's my guy?
That's fine.
The Sharks. They got a big one tonight at Buffalo. No, excuse me. At the Tank. Buffalo's coming to town. They just lost in Buffalo. Again, they're chasing Utah. They're chasing Seattle. They're chasing the Los Angeles Kings. You are rooting against the Mammoth, the Kraken, the Kings, and rooting for the Sharks from here on out. They got 16 games left, and every single period is important for the San Jose Sharks right now. The only thing that I'll be flipping off an NCAA tournament game for is going to be Sharks hockey later tonight. That's it. That's it. NCAA tournament. Sharks hockey, that's what's going to be on my TV until I go to bed tonight. And then I'm going to wake up and join Larry Kruger with a wake up starting at 9 a.m. And because it's Larry, that means we'll get on the air about 9:15. But yeah, we're going to have ourselves a wake up and go over all things Niners again tomorrow. And I thank you very much for watching today. The only thing we have left to do is talk about what an incredible day in history it's been. And it is really not that much of an incredible day, to be honest with you. But Glenn Close, happy birthday to her. She turns 79 years old today. Glenn Close. Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs, 68 years old today. Bruce Willis, 71 years old. Now, Bruce Willis has escaped the public eye. Apparently, he is battling dementia. It's a sad ending to such a, you know, a fast talker whose wit was at the center of his celebrity. I mean, Bruce Willis was one of the coolest dudes in Hollywood there for a very, very long time. I wish him a comfortable, however it ends. He is 71 years old today, but Bruce Willis has left the public eye. Comedian, podcaster Theo Vaughn is 46 years old today, and a future Hall of Famer, who, honestly, Giants fans pitched it straight up your ass whenever he took the ball. Clayton Kershaw, 38 years old today. Old man Kershaw, 38 years old today. Today in 1918, Congress established time zone and approved daylight savings time. So we got our time zones and rolling the clock back and forward today by Congress in 1918. Say whatever you want about daylight savings time. Those time zones matter. I'm glad that the time zone thing was important. I'm glad we did that. Today in 1931, you want to talk about something that is really in effect today? Well, if you've never been to Las Vegas for the first round of the NCAA tournament, one of the ultimate dude bro trips there is, and it used to be so much better than it is now because everything in Vegas now is just built to screw you before you go home. But today in 1931, the Nevada state legislature voted to legalize gambling. And for all that Vegas no longer has going for it, what it will still have in spades forever, is there is nothing like the wave of energy in a sports book when you got three or four on the line NCAA tournament games all coming down to the very end. All the energy in the sports book is just, it's amazing. It's the best. It really is. Today in 1957, Graceland, a 13.8-acre estate outside the city of Memphis, was sold for $102,000 to Elvis Presley. Graceland, happy birthday, as we know you, darling. 1962 today, Bob Dylan released his first album. He really wanted to call it something clever, so he called it Bob Dylan. He would go on. It was funny. It got mixed reviews. I wonder if this Bob Dylan guy is going to stay around. Will there be any staying power out of this guy? He did all right. Hey, if you really want to watch that congressional whatever, thank God today, C-SPAN was born in 1979. You want an oversight committee? Just prattling on with charts. Is this the channel for you, man? C-SPAN launched today in 1979. By the way, launched today in 1983 on an episode of Different Strokes, First Lady Nancy Reagan publicly launched her Just Say No to Drugs campaign. Today, the Say No anti-drug campaign, happy birthday, 1983 episode of Different Strokes. Who would have ever thought? By the way, Different Strokes was more significant than the Just Say No program. Today in 1987, televangelist Jimmy Baker resigned as host of the PTL Club after an involvement in a sex scandal. And we haven't heard from Christian evangelical con men ever since. Oh, no, wait, excuse me. That's not how that story ends. Today in 2003, George W. Bush opened airstrikes on Baghdad, this launching the Iraq war with Saddam Hussein because he said they were developing weapons of mass destruction. We find out after the fact that we went to war in the Middle East under completely false pretenses. That will never happen again. Oh, wait, that's not how that story ends either. Today in 2008, we don't talk about death dates very often, but I'll wrap up with this one, okay? English writer Arthur C. Clarke, who was a visionary in science fiction. If you like science fiction, this guy is basically the grandfather of modern science fiction. He basically handed the script to Kubrick for 2001, A Space Odyssey, which came out in 68. He died today at the age of 90 in 2008. And if you are the kind of sci-fi dork out there that I know so many of you are, that was a big one today. Arthur C. Clarke shuffling off this mortal coil. I thank you for watching today. I thank you for getting a sandwich at Ike's, for checking out my partner, Kalshi. I thank you for being a great part of a great audience. I enjoy hanging out with you tremendously, and I'm totally flattered that you enjoy hanging out with me. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy. Check out these Damon Bruce shows. The Plus on YouTube is getting it done. Thanks to everyone for commenting. Thanks for liking. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks to those of you who are members. And thank you so very, very much to those of you who dropped a little super chat today. And on that note, the only thing we need to do, hold on, wait a minute, I got that button because I got my button back now, and I really like that because I have to push this button after I tell you that sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.